أشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا. Most respected elders, dear friends, we find that a believer in his life, he is to be the constant remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how can a person be in the constant remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where he has different chores, different things that he has to do, activities that he has to do in his day-to-day life? So we find the solution to this also. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has, by means of practice, shown the ummah that a person in his entire day can be engaged in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one hadith it is mentioned, kullu muti'in lillah fa huwa dhakirun, that a person in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such a person is in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That a person is obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in what he is carrying out at that part or at that moment of his life. And such a person is in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one is that remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by means of the person's actions. And the other remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the verbal remembrance which is asked from every single person as well. Many injunctions which are mentioned in the Qur'an Majeed, from these injunctions, one of the injunctions which has been stressed upon like no other injunction, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّوَ الَّذِينَ آمِنُوا اذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا. But remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا abundantly. No other injunction has been asked from a person to be done in abundance like the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is that verbal remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now with regards to the verbal remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are many different ways a person can make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, a person takes out the tasbih and he recites Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. These are great ways of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, one very, very easy and a way that a person will reach the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ulama mention, is through the way of the masnoon du'as. Those du'as which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had recited in his day-to-day life and had taught to the ummah. This is that way or that part which will gain the person the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very, very quickly and easily. And these may seem very, very simple, yet they have great benefits in them and they have great power in them. A person wakes up in the morning, the first thing that he is taught now, when he wakes up, he rubs his eyes and he is taught a dua. These du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a teaching to the ummah to ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first thing the person recites upon awakening, Alhamdulillahi alladhi ahyana ba'da ma amatana wa ilayhin nushur. Or praises to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has given me life after death. A person was sleeping, it is as if he was dead. Like a dead person who can't hear anything around him, what is happening right in front of his face, he doesn't know. Just like a dead man, the person was sleeping, he doesn't know anything about his surroundings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from that sleep of his, allowed him to wake up. How many people go to sleep at night and don't wake up in the morning? In the morning when the partner or the person who is in the room wakes up and he sees this person is not waking up. and they realize this person has passed away in his sleep. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives this person life after that death, that temporary death that Allah had given him. A person wakes up, he goes to the toilet. Generally this is the natural, the person goes to the toilet. Here entering the toilet, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches the ummah. When you enter the toilet, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'i. That is first place of napaki, place of najis, place of dirt. Asking protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, protect me that I am going this place where there is najis, where there is impurity. And in such an impure place, they are those makhluk, those creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that may be there which are also impure. So Allah protect me here while I am relieving myself. A person is relieving himself. It is a time when this person cannot remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala verbally here. Because he is in the toilet. He cannot take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He cannot make tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here inside the toilet. Because it is an impure place. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam yet again teaches the ummah. The person steps out from the toilet. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to the ummah, "Ghufranak, O Allah, forgive me." Why? O Allah, forgive me. I went into the place which was impure, and I could not take your pure name in there. So forgive me, O Allah. I could not make your zikr in there. Alhamdulillahilladhi adhaba anni al-adha wa afani. All praises to you, O Allah, who has relieved me of that which was impure in my body. Who has the ability of giving that person the ability to relieve himself in the toilet? As this person who is constipated for just the day or 2 days. In what type of turmoil he is? He's in a difficulty. He doesn't know what to do. He's trying all types of medications just to digest the food and so that he can relieve himself well. That person is in a real dilemma. Alhamdulillahilladhi azhaba anni al-adha. Allah, all praises to you. You have given me the ability of relieving myself. And oh Allah, you have given me discomfort after relieving myself. So again Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches the ummah. From the toilet the person will go now to make wudu. What is the dua that has been taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Bismillah. I begin with the name of Allah. A person makes this dua and he now, such a short dua, respected friends and elders, and now he is making wudu. While he is making wudu, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches him a dua, a powerful dua. Allahumma ighfir li dhanbi. O Allah, forgive my sins. At the time when a person makes wudu, it is mentioned that the person's actions, the evil actions that a person has done, or the gunas that he has done with the limbs that he is washing, at that time those gunas are being washed away from that limb of his. A person is washing his face. The gunas that he had committed by his eyes, by his nose, or by his mouth, these gunas are now being washed away from him. A person is washing his hands. The gunas that he had done with his hands, at that time those gunas are being washed away. It is mentioned of perhaps Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, he would mention that I can actually see the person who is making wudu, the sins are falling away from the limb of his body as he is washing them. So this is, person is making the dua, Allahumma ighfir li dhanbi, Allah forgive my sins. وَوَسِّعْ لِي فِي دَارِي. O Allah, give me abundance in my home. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching the ummah. Now a person who makes this dua regularly, every time that he is making wudu, respected friends and elders, won't we have abundance in our homes? See, because this is from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is not from any person who is telling us. This is from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَوَسِّعْ لِي فِي دَارِي وَبَارِكْ لِي فِي رِزْقِ. O Allah, give me burden in my sustenance. Today every person is worried about this, that I mustn't run into poverty. Oh Allah, give me barakat. You ask people to make dua for barakat. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching the ummah. There lies your barakat. A person who is making dua at the time of wudu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept such a person's dua. Because a person is mindful of what he is saying at that time. So the person is asking. And thereafter a person finishes his dua, his wudu, and he recites, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. Wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Allahumma ja'alni min at-tawwabina waj'alni min al-mutatahhirin. Oh Allah, make me from amongst those who repent to you. It is mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the person who recites this dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open for him on the day of Qiyamah the gates of Jannah. All 8 gates of Jannah will be open for him, and it will be told to him, enter from whichever gate that you want to enter. Such a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our respected friends and elders, a person seems these, Allah forgive us, but we think of these things to be the small things in our life. Things that, you know, everybody is doing, a child is learning it in the maktab and is reading, not reading. These are the small things, respected friends and elders, which on the day of Qiyamah will help us. Today, unfortunately, we focus on the bigger things. We only look at the bigger picture. Everything must be big, done. Go big or go home. So our focus is only that. But the smaller little things that we are taught when we were young, or those things that sometimes we just think that these are by the way, we don't really focus on them. But respected friends and elders, these are the things that will help us on the day of Qiyamah. One great saint, it is mentioned about him, after passing away, somebody saw in his dream that this person, Allah had given him a very high status in the Akhirat. So someone asked him, the person who saw him in the dream asked him, how did Allah bless you the status in the Akhirat? He said, it was only because of the Masnoon Duas that I was particular on. The Masnoon Duas. After whatever, he was reciting the Masnoon Duas. So respected friends and elders, these are great in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Imam of our Masjid here, with Mawlana Yusuf Desai Sahab, he was mentioning to us, he said, sometimes the simpler things, these are the effective things. So he was mentioning that there was a company, a big company, and this company had a problem in the packaging line. They had a conveyor belt, and in the packaging line, they were boxing the item that they were obviously producing. So many a times they were found that this was after it was packaged, and the complaints were coming one after the other. So they needed to find a solution to make sure that there are no empty boxes which are packaged. So what they did is they hired some people, technicians, whatever not. Somebody came with one solution, another person came with another solution. And after a lengthy discussion, they came to a solution which they agreed upon, which costed them some thousands of, or rather millions of dollars. And yet after this, they were still having an issue. Obviously it was much less. But they still had instances where there were empty boxes packaged. So nevertheless, time went, a new CEO came of the company. So this person came and he was made aware of this issue that they had in their company. So this person says the solution to this is very, very simple. What he did was, he went to the shop and he purchased one or two, whatever, however many conveyor belts they had. 100, 200 rands in our terms, fan, stand fan, and he put it in front of the conveyor belt. And with this, that fan, he put it at a speed, at a distance, where it would only blow away the empty box. And that few hundred rands, or in dollars, it would be few dollars, they came to a solution. So Maulana mentioned, and many a times a person is looking at the bigger picture and is trying to just see how he can achieve and he loses everything. Meanwhile, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept it in this very, very small, simple things. So a person after making wudu, he's taught a masnoon dua. A person leaves his home. Now he's going to the masjid, he's leaving his home. Early in the morning, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches him a dua. Bismillahi tawakkaltu ala Allah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Such a simple, easy dua. Respected friends and elders, we live in a time where a person is not sure he's going to move, step out of his home. He's not even sure inside his home, but he steps out of his home. Something may happen to him. Accident can happen. A person can be killed. A person can be shot. Something can happen. Allah knows. Allah save us all. Protect us all. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith that that person who makes this dua and he leaves his home, an angel is appointed. And what does that angel say? That angel says, you have been protected. You have been protected. And you have been guided. A person moves out of his home. There's so many things out there that will distract a person. Distract a person away from his deen. Distract a person away from whatever he is achieving. So a person who makes the dua and leaves his home, that angel says, you have been rightly guided. Allah will guide you throughout your day that you are leaving your home right now. And whatever task that you endeavor at this time when you're leaving this home, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill that task of you. Now how many of us, respected friends and elders, let us ask ourselves, how many of us recite this dua when leaving the home? A person comes back to his home. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches him, Allahumma inni as'aluka khayr al-mawlaj wa khayr al-makhraj. Bismillah walajna wa bismillah kharajna wa ala Allahi rabbina tawakkalna. Oh Allah, I am entering with your name. Oh Allah, I am leaving. If I leave the home, I leave with your name. If I enter the home, I enter with your name. Oh Allah, grant me the blessings of being in my home. Simple, short du'as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching the ummah. Time is less. At the end of the day, when a person now retires to his bed, he's going to sleep, recite the dua at the time of sleeping. Allahumma bi ismika amutu wa ahya. Oh Allah, in your name I sleep, and in with your name I wake up. This is such a great dua, respected friends and elders. A person recites this dua, he is in the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't need any security guard, any alarm system. This is the greatest protection. Protection from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But respected friends and elders, unfortunately, we are in that you ask many people, they do not have the tawfiq of reading the dua before sleeping. What is the reason? The reason is very simple. A person at the time of before going to sleep, a person is playing on his phone perhaps. A person is watching something. And his eyes closes at that very moment. In the past, people would sit in front of the TV. And when it was time to go to bed, they would switch the TV off and they would go in the bed, read the dua and sleep. Allah forbid. But now the time has come when the TV and that screen is in front of us while we are just about to sleep. While that eyes is just closing away, that thing is still on and probably falls away on the bed or side. And that person is deprived of reciting the dua before going to sleep. What a great deprivation. A person is told at the time before you go to sleep, read Ayatul Kursi. Read Ayatul Kursi. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. The entire Ayatul Kursi. A person who recites Ayatul Kursi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect him. Allah will protect the people that are in his home. Allah will protect his entire house. Allah will protect even his neighbors. But how many of us, respected friends and elders, Allah forgive us, recite Ayatul Kursi before going to sleep. Such a great ayat. Sayyidina Abu Umama radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, O Abu Umama, which is the greatest verse in the Quran Majid? Sayyidina Abu Umama radiallahu anhu turns to Rasulullah, Rasul know best. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeated the question and says, O Abu Umama, which is the greatest verse in the Quran Majid? Abu Umama radiallahu anhu looks at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says, Allahu la ilaha illa huwal hayyul qayyum, mini ayatul kursi. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pats the sahabi with affection on his chest and he says, may Allah bless you in your knowledge. Meaning you have said correct. Greatest ayat of the Quran Majid. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith that everything has a peak. Everything has a peak. And the peak of the Quran Majid is Surah Baqarah. The peak of the Quran Majid is Surah Baqarah. And from all the ayats, the leader of the ayat is Ayatul Kursi. Such a great thing Allah has gifted us. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu was watching God over the Muslims' possessions. And Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu was made, appointed there by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to look after that. Mali ghanimat or the Baitul Mal. And one person comes to him, an old elderly person, weak, and he says, if there is something, or rather he starts stealing something without Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu noticing him. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu notices him, he runs towards him. This person says, look, I have a family, I need to feed them, so on. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu leaves him, he went, goes away. The next morning Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, what happened with your thief last night? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wasn't told by anyone. Allah had informed him. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says, oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is the story he had given me. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says he was a liar. He spoke lies to you. So the next day same thing happens. The third day same thing happens. On the third occasion Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says, I will not let this guy go. I will make sure I will catch him today. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu catches hold of him and he says, I'm not going to let you go. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has informed me that you are a liar and you are shaitan. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says to him, or rather this shaitan says to Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, if you let me go, I will teach you something. I will teach you something which will be a great benefit to everyone. So he says, Sahaba radiallahu anhu, like that, when they would hear something about great benefit to the akhirat, then everything else was forgotten. So he says to Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, that the person who recites surah or ayatul kursi every night, or rather ayatul kursi, such a person will be safe from me and my progeny. Meaning we cannot harm them. Shaitan cannot harm, or anybody from my progeny cannot harm such a person. And he goes away. The following morning, when Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu comes in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks him, O Abu Huraira, what happened with your thief last night? So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu relates the incident. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, definitely 100% he has spoken the truth to you, although he is a liar. Shaitan is a liar, but in this instance he spoke the truth to you. A person who recites Ayatul Kursi in the night before going to sleep, Allah will protect him. Allah will protect his family. So respected friends and elders, let us make this habit. Every night before going to sleep, the person should leave everything else aside. All the gadgets and the phones and whatever is distracting us, and turn our focus to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And read our masnoon du'as, read Ayatul Kursi, and then go to sleep. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq and ability. Wa akhir da'wana.